Speaking in public, just like this, to an audience I know well, in a style I'm accustomed to, is no effort at all. Preaching on home ground is a familiar and comfortable role. In fact, there are times when preaching about something we all care about, a feeling deeply connected to the congregation. This can be a rewarding experience. But there are other public speaking challenges that arise from time to time where my feelings and physiological responses are just the opposite. Suppose, for instance, a subject comes up at Synod that touches me to the quick, where I spontaneously decide that I must speak out with no prior preparation, and yet I'm also aware that what I have to say is highly likely to provoke a negative response. First of all, a squeezing sensation begins around my solar plex. Then groups of muscles begin to knot up in my back and in my shoulders. My breathing becomes more rapid, and as the adrenaline kicks in, my brain speeds up. About then, I usually offer up a prayer that goes something like this: "Please God, don't let my feelings overwhelm me so that I sound like a frightened and confused little rabbit." At such times, I have given my best and my worst speeches. I've both risen to the occasion and at other times have slunk away from the microphone feeling intensely disappointed with myself. Which is why I'm so intrigued by that promise of Jesus this morning to give his followers, quote, "an eloquence and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to contradict or resist." When it comes to the crunch, when we're really up against it, when it comes to the defining moment of our Christian witness, no preparation will be necessary, apparently. Jesus will be our speech coach. Master of the quick-witted retaliatory retort that he was in his life on earth, he will give us a portion of his spirit so that we will be golden-tongued in our defence. The years leading up to the destruction of the temple in AD 70 and the years immediately afterwards were a tough time for the Christian communities. Jewish Christians were under pressure to take sides for or against Rome, something they refused to do. When nationalist hotheads brought down the wrath of Rome, they were obliged to run for their lives. As the synagogue and the early Christian assemblies grew further apart, there was the possibility of excommunication from your native faith. And Gentile Christians had already had a taste of what was in store when the Emperor Nero blamed them for a fire that burnt down much of Rome. Thousands of them were put to death, including probably the Apostle Paul. Looking back on that difficult time, Christians remembered some pertinent words of Jesus in which he had predicted what would follow. His prophecies had turned out to be true. He was someone who could be trusted as the world fell apart and the church came under persecution. What was more, he had promised to be with his followers in spirit when it came to the test of being charged in court with spreading Christianity. In keeping with his resilient spirit, he encouraged his followers to see being brought before kings and governors as an opportunity to get the message across. Persecution wasn't such a disadvantage when it gave you this kind of privileged access to the people in power that couldn't have come any other way. Every now and then, somebody we meet or somebody in our outer circle will bring up the subject of religious belief and where we stand in the matter. Usually it happens when we least expect it. Often it's sparked off by a recent controversy about which we have no enthusiasm. Almost always we'll feel put on the spot with the possibility of personal embarrassment if our words fail to hit the mark. This is precisely the time to claim the promise made to us in this morning's gospel. We might quickly pray before opening our mouths, "Lord, help me not to let you down through lack of courage. May what I say be useful to the point and persuasive." There are other occasions when the promise to be given the right words at the right time will come into its own. Perhaps we are being criticised at a public meeting. Perhaps our stewardship of the collective affairs of an organisation we care about comes under critical scrutiny at a committee meeting. Perhaps at a family dinner, a row threatens to erupt because of somebody's incendiary and provocative remarks. When that moment comes, it will be important to speak winsomely, wisely, and temperately. Effective public speaking is about remaining in command of yourself, even when tossed about with passionate feelings and convictions. Cool, calm, good-humoured, witty and wise, but also convincing, persistent, and to the point. Let us pray that when the opportunity comes, we will rise to the occasion and give the speech of a lifetime. Our prayer book, well, the 1989 one anyway, has a wonderful prayer for Tuesday in Holy Week that you might like to keep at the back of your mind as a resource for these kinds of difficult moments. When all we are and everything we do are called into question, grant us dignity and direction. Grant us patience. Jesus, be there then. There are times too when people we love and care about a great deal unexpectedly get stuck into us in a way that seems to us to be deeply unfair and unreasonable. Here, above all, is the time to take a deep breath, to count to 10, to ask Jesus that we will be given the right words at the right time, and then hope and pray that when we open our mouths, we will be spared an attack of foot and mouth disease. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our strength and our Redeemer. That's a good prayer, not just for Anglican preachers in the pulpit, but for all of us when sometime, somewhere, when we least expect it, someone we care about climbs into us. Spoken in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.